Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. Make it do what it do, baby. Dre, you change hats in the middle of the show?
What's that?
Dre, you changed hats in the middle of the show, and I said I did. The Atlanta hat had a little hint of green, and you know from a production side, Rob, if you have a little green, a little green screen, yeah, a little green screen can cause some challenges. So I figured I would change the color just to make sure that it was going to pick up everything. And you know, the one red Atlanta hat looks like the Alabama hat. I don't want to trigger you too much tonight, Rob, so it's all good. So, again, this is what we do. We have some fun. Appreciate everyone.
Both of them would have been the trigger.
We're still trying to do the technology. What's that, Rob?
I said both of them would have been a trigger.
I figured yeah. This was less triggering. How about that? So it's all good. But, hey, we beat you twice, man. It was nothing personal, man, for the Yankees, man. You kind of figured that was going to happen. I mean,
three times.
You know, but. Oh, man. That's right, too. I just saw that, too. Yeah. So I was working on the Eastern stuff, man. So I was trying to focus, man.
So.
They're not the old Yankees. All good. That's for damn sure.
That's Aaron Boone, time to go, man. Time to get fired.
A good ride. Rob's trying to represent wearing the Yankees. It's all good. But, had a very eventful start to the evening. So just to make sure that, you know, we get out on time and apparently no OT, let's still throw some kudos around the room, kind of check in with everyone, starting with my guy, JQ. What's going on, sir?
I don't know, man. I can't explain how to. Good birthday weekend, and I topped it off and went and hung out with some friends. I got a group of friends, about four or five more Yankees fans and four or five more Braves fans. So I just went to the game on Monday and had my Stripers outfit on because, you know, I'm Switzerland, I'm neutral. So I was there watching it. We left by the seventh inning.
Nice.
I've yet to go to that stadium here.
Nice.
You should go, man. Yeah, you should go. For
real. Eventually. Yeah. Maybe September.
Yeah,
I got to wait to get a little cooler. Although today the weather was nice.
Yeah, man, let us know because I do have some people. I DJed the wedding for them, so I got some passes and stuff like that, too. So if needed, you know, I'm not as cool as JQ in certain instances, but I got some pool. But the battery's great. If
not even close.
Places to eat. Yeah, I always get y'all be shitting on me, man. I don't know, man. I don't feel the love.
I didn't say anything like that.
He was thinking
good.
It, but
it's
he
good.
Didn't say it.
What are you talking about? I paid for my own ticket to go in, so I don't know all this who I know and all this other stuff. I definitely paid for my own ticket to get in. So
JQ got tickets he's got connections for the Falcons stuff too, so that's where he shines at. So all good.
Oh, don't get me started. I can't even go on Friday. It hurts my soul.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, I'll be on dad duty, and my oldest daughter made the varsity cheerleading team, and it's her first game as a varsity cheerleader. And I said I was going to go, and it caused a whole lot of let's say angst. In my household, so that's definitely not happening.
Oh, man. Sorry, my guy. Okay, well, at least you got
the... Oh, man.
Well, we'll have to make it up for you, man. So I'll get... Rob, how you feeling this evening, man?
Feeling good, man. Ready to get this party started.
Gary, you doing good? Missed you last week.
Well, you know, it was a stressful moment when we were going through all this because I had gone back to Florida. I tried to give Rob a jingle when I was in the ATL at the airport, but he was home, so I didn't get a chance to see him. And I wish I would have had more time. I would have given you guys a call and seen if we could hook up or something. Next time I will. I'll be back there again. But how it worked out tonight is I get the bombshell that we're going to try and, you know, switch things up, which gives me a little anxiety anyway. And in the middle of that, when I was in Florida, I had toured the house, and we backed out of the deal on the house, and we purchased a different house within the same community. And so I was going through all of that stuff, getting my earnest money back and all that kind of stuff, in the middle of trying to figure out, you know, what was going on with this new thing we were trying tonight. So I'm hoping that I did that correctly, or that I didn't sign up for the show and I lose my earnest money. I don't know. We'll see when it's all said and done.
Oh, my God, no.
Right in the middle of all of it.
Earnest money is more important than the show. I mean, our show is important, but earnest money. Come on, man. I'm just saying. Man. I'll speak for everyone of that. So just
you know how when you're doing this stuff and you're doing it remote, you're doing it all on your phone or your tablet or whatever, and you're going through and you're clicking and all this stuff. Well, I'm in the middle of that trying to do all that, and then I get the update that we're going to try this new system out, and so I'm flipping over to that, and yeah, back and forth, and yeah. I hope the wife's doing better. Rob, is she doing better now?
Better, not 100% still, but definitely better.
Good, good.
Wait, what?
Gotcha. Well, like this, yeah, for real. I'm trying to figure out. We apparently ain't that cool. Is the wife okay, Rob?
Oh yeah, yeah. She just went. Gary had reached out to me Monday morning, and I said, "Oh, I'm in Tampa. I had stayed back because she wasn't feeling well." And but yeah, she's not 100%. She's just under the weather.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Make sure she's okay. Prayers for her too. Like I said, so feel the love. It's been a pretty eventful week, if you will. Like I said, hope Jake, you had a good birthday. We just got back from Charlotte for anniversary, so everything is well. And then definitely getting ready for Marcy's birthday too. So, you know, again, prayers for Andre and his bank account because it's been going and going and going. So it's all good. So.
But, oh, you got that, man.
Yeah. Let's have some fun. Oh, man, it's been
pocket
fun. I just keep here. What do you want? You want this? You want this? You want that? Whatever. Whatever she wants. It's all good. But she's pretty good. We're pretty balanced. So she likes to take care of me, and I try to take care of her too. So it's fun stuff too.
You got every Braves and Warriors and Falcons had in the business. You got that.
I do
well,
have a lot of
we also ain't gonna
sure,
we so. Also ain't gonna talk about the fact that he made the decision to get married right near her birthday, knowing that it was gonna be a double dip a week apart for the rest of his life. So miss that part. Hashtag your fault.
Hey, love has you do crazy things sometimes, man.
So if I go
you'll
back,
get
and think about
get on my birthday. Yeah, babe, let's get married on your birthday.
Actually, her brother's birthday is on the same day as our anniversary. So I think, man, we were some poor college students, so we were like, let's get married here because it was kind of an economic decision. We just like wrapped up classes, we were done. And that's kind of how the date fell. So, like, let's get married in August. I'm like, yeah, you know, let's make it happen. So that's kind of how the story evolved. And her birthday,
okay.
Her brother's birthday is on the same day. So that worked out. My mom's birthday is on August the 19th. So everything is kind of like fell in the place,
wow.
Man. So, you know.
He said,
yeah.
Hey, we're going to all be together anyway, so let's just make it a party.
There you go.
That's kind of how it happened, honestly. So, then, you know, and again, obviously, like Rob said, I kind of kid, but it's just like I just know, like, hey, I don't try to do any DJ events during that 2 weeks and just kind of spend some time with her. And we just, you know, we kind of just really do a good job with that too. So it's fun. I mean, like I said, I know I make jokes about it, but yeah, I know, like, hey, this is the time, like you said, you know, this is the week, the 2 weeks we're going to kind of throw everything into that and just make it work. So it's been good. So no complaints.
I don't think of gigs when Falcons are playing now, right?
I've grown so much, man. You got to stop going back and bringing that up, man. So that's almost been 10 years ago, man. So come on, man.
Yeah, sometimes people slip up and have a relapse. So I'm just checking
people,
on you, man. That's
people
all.
Don't relapse at all. No, you got to edify your brother, my guy. Yeah, I mean, that's been almost 10, 15 years.
Okay, that's what I'm checking, to edify you. Making sure you don't have any relapse.
Man, the DJ business is going amazing, man. I book stuff.
Good,
yeah,
good.
I do whenever JQ invites me, we're gonna go, hey, there's a game we really want to do, we could knock it out, man. So it's been good. So there you go. Let's have some fun, gentlemen. Let's talk out this, throw out the numbers for the shows if you want to call in. I did post on Facebook, some people did see the restream, the new system.
I saw it too.
They're like, we're so excited. I'm like, hey guys, sorry again. We're teasing you, but whenever we figure out technology, we're gonna go in too. But for those that wanna call in that are listening, the number to call is always the same number. This is the number that we get Naj to call in as well. It's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on the amazing – it's not Twitter anymore. It's X. Follow us on X, if you will, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. So, again, it's not Twitter. It's called X, thanks to Elon Musk and his craziness. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. We'll get it figured out. We will have the show on a Facebook Live session. I promise I can't wait till that goes live, and that's just Talking Sports and 12th Man, or if you put 12th Man Sports on Facebook, you'll find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, this is the party started here. I know everyone's been waiting. America wants to talk about the week, and we're going to jump right into the top 10 wide receivers, and this is great. So, at first, whenever I was putting down my top 10, I thought there was a bias for Rob and LSU, but you know, we're gonna have some fun here because, you know, we got two of your LSU guys in this in the top 10. But we're gonna show some love here. I'm gonna go strategic here.
Oh, there's a bias.
Kind of put the top 10, and then I went so based upon, all right, this is looking at a couple of things because, you know, for me, you know, you can go Devontae Adams number one for the Raiders. I mean, obviously not having Aaron Rodgers last year, but still just killing it. I think if you look at his stats, this guy was definitely one of the best receivers last year. He had like 100 passes for almost 1,500 yards, 14 touchdowns, which is six more than Justin Jefferson. You know, just a great route runner. He leads the NFL on like the receiving grades and yards per route and all that fun stuff. So he's the top if you think about that. And everyone's going to probably have different orders of this too. Number two, Justin Jefferson. And like I said, top of the mountain guys. Just again, this guy's just been phenomenal for the Vikings in his young career, outstanding route runner, winning all those contested catches. One of the greatest catches in NFL history was that 4th-and-18 against the Buffalo. You got to give him props on that, give him his flowers. Number three, I got Tyreek Hill. I mean, like I said, just been a dangerous, dangerous wide receiver. That combination of speed, acceleration, I mean, he's a threat to scoring time and touches the ball. To Ja'Marr Chase for you, JQ. And again, I could have probably put him number one whenever I first did the list. I was thinking he was, you know, probably up there. But, you know, just again, he's just been killing it. And I think he probably has the opportunity to kind of develop into the best receiver as he continues on. Number five, I've got Stephon Diggs for Buffalo. You know, again, just he's doing it, getting all those targets, being moved to Buffalo. He's kind of been unleashed, having Josh Allen being his quarterback. We do hope that the Bills continue to have that running game, but that's what I have for that. Cooper Kupp, I have my next guy for the Rams, one of the main bright spots for the Rams. Just elite route runner, technician, blocker. You know, he can torch defensive backs from the outside needed. He's breaking all these tackles. He's just been just a crazy, crazy, putting up crazy numbers as well. A.J. Brown for the Eagles. I know this is going to, you know, trigger Gary, if you will, but just whenever he got traded from the Titans, you talk about just seeing him grow for the Eagles and having that target with connecting with Jalen Hurts, just been a huge upgrade. And then obviously having Devontae Smith on the other side, he's just been seeing his transformation, already have elite stats. He can just, you know, just a big physical receiver, love him. I've got number 8. I am going to show you some love, Gary, with CeeDee Lamb for the Cowboys. You know, again, it should only go up for him going into the year because he's got Brandon Cooks, the most traded guy, I guess, in the NFL, to keep these defenses on their toes. They didn't have Amari Cooper last year, but he set career highs in what targets, catches, yards, touchdowns, everything. So he's looking like he's going to be one of the good receivers in the game, too. Who's I got in my 9? I got Deebo Samuels for the 49ers. You know, he's kind of a unique receiver, right? You know, not only can he run the ball, he can catch. I mean, he's just a unique player, if you will. And I think I was looking at stats, he had like 128, like, broken tackles, something crazy like that. So he's just a dynamic threat. And then my last guy, and again, you could have some honorable mentions for a couple people, too. I have Jaylen Waddle for the Dolphins to kind of combat that, too, because I just think he's just, again, doing his thing with just thriving in that particular offense with the Dolphins, too. So I know you can do some flowers to Evans and Hopkins and Garrett Wilson, but that's what I've got for the top 10 for me. So there you go. Who wants it next?
Go ahead, Rob.
All right. Well, you know, Andre said it. I'm going to go with two LSU guys, 1 and 2, right? The greatest college football team of all time, at 2019 LSU team. So
no,
we're going to go with Justin
Jefferson. Finish.
We're going to go with Justin Jefferson, 129 catches last year, over 1,800 yards on last year. Just insane. And I got Jamar Chase, number 2. I know Chase missed some games last year. But, man, the guy is just unguardable. He's uncoverable. You saw it in college where you had All-American corners, Trayvon Diggs, A.J. Terrell, and even in the pros, even the best corners just can't cover him. And even though he missed some games last year, I know there's some receivers that had some better numbers because he was out last year. I honestly think those are the two best receivers in the game right now. Yeah, there's a little bit of LSU bias there. But, yeah, I honestly think they're the two best there. Tariq Hill, phenomenal year last year, and I have him at number 3. When you look at the numbers that Tariq Hill put up last year, even with first, second, and 13 quarterbacks last year, and he still put up over 1,700 yards receiving. So, phenomenal year for him considering all the quarterbacks that he had to play with on last year with that Miami Dolphins team. Devontae Adams, I have him number 4. Number 5, Cooper Kupp. I think he's definitely still, even though he missed some games last year, I think he's another guy. He's one of these guys that's just hard to cover. Tremendous route runner. So I have him number 5. I have Stephon Diggs, number 6. A.J. Brown, number 7. You know, probably the master of the jump ball with his size. He just boxes defensive backs out. Him and Jalen Hurts turn out to be a tremendous duo. Got CeeDee Lamb, number 8, Jalen Waddle, number 9, and Deebo Samuel, number 10. So I have the same 10 that Dre has, just in a different order.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, you know, the top 7 or so are right around the same as what you guys have. You know, the bottom guys that I have, I don't put Deebo in there because, you know, he's a – if you were talking about just athletes, what they do, you know, he's a runner and a receiver. I don't consider him as just a, you know, prototype receiver in the league because he does so many other things for his team and everything is short and these other guys can stretch the field. But my number, you know, 8, 9, and 10 are CeeDee Lamb, Garrett Wilson, and Jaylen Waddle. The rest of the guys, you know, and any of these 10 guys that we've talked about, depending on health of their line, depending on, you know, the quarterback situation, any of these guys can step up and be, you know, a top 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the league. Any of these 10 guys have that ability to do that, depending on their situation and, you know, their team situations. But all these guys are just absolute studs.
Yeah, I'm not doing no 10. I don't care. All I care about is Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. So The rest of them can kick rocks. But Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the NFL, but the rest of them, I don't care. I mean, that sounds good what y'all said. I'm cool with that.
Well, I will say,
yeah,
that's the
closest.
Then.
Justin Jefferson, number one. Where do you put Chase?
Two.
We got the top
but
two.
I think
so
I don't even put him two.
Two
I don't even put him two. I think that's 1A and 1B, in my opinion. I think those two guys are clearly the two best receivers in the league.
The only one I would quibble with, I think people – you saw what A.J. Brown can do for real, right? Like, when he got into the office,
yeah.
Actually had a semblance of a quarterback, he just went nuts. So I think I would slide him up
yeah.
a little higher on that list because he's just a big physical wide receiver. I don't think I heard Metcalf in there, and DK's a beast as well. So,
yeah.
You know, I put a little bit
five,
of it. Yeah, I personally would rather have DK than have Stephon Diggs, to be perfectly honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, A.J. Brown, just you saw when he got in a good system. Yeah, but, you know, so one through ten, my guy's number two. I give up this Jefferson. He's definitely number one. Everybody else?
I mean, it's tough, right, because when I first did the list, I didn't look up CBS Sports. I literally had Chase and Jefferson. I figured, well, you know what, I'm going to try to be unbiased, try to go with what, you know, the CBS. But yeah, you know, I can see that based on numbers. So, but again, you try to please everyone, try to, you know, keep it going. But like I said, those last couple of guys, you can kind of definitely mix and match because you do a shout out for Mike Evans, even though he's been hurt. He's been pretty dominant. DeAndre Hopkins, we talked about him. You said Garrett Wilson. We talked about Terry McLean. You know, what's it, McElroy from the Commanders.
McLaurin.
So many guys.
Yeah, they just ain't been there long enough for
the Then you got to talk about adding a DK Metcalf. You know, so there's so many people, you know, that you can look at. You got T. Higgins, you got freaking Brandon. You know, there's people that you can add, you know, for sure. But, you know, it's we definitely know who the top kind of, you know, upper tier wide receivers, are definitely within that situation too. So, you know.
Well, the one guy that I would talk about in here, Cooper Kupp, who else does he have on his team that's any kind of a threat, really? You know, he's able to get open, you know, in so many big situations, you know, with a shitty offensive line and, you know, an older quarterback and all that stuff. And he does a lot with less, I think, Cooper Kupp. So I would put him just below the, you know, top four guys in here. I'd put him about five.
Yeah, we had about
me?
Six. Like I said, you know, him and Stephon, you know, it's kind of one of the situations as well, like you talked about, too. I do want to give a shout-out to –
He won a triple crown 2 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You do want to give a shout-out to JQ. He was talking about Stetson Bennett, right? Because Bennett played well, and, you know, Stetson is going to mess around and just intangibles, right? Because who did the Rams – you know, Stafford has been hurt, and, you know, he had a really interesting – he came in and performed for the Rams, so a little glimmer of hope for them. We got Naj on the line. What's up, Naj? How you doing, sir?
I was doing all right, man. And here y'all go with this violence. Already starting – I just got here. Y'all starting stuff, man. What's up, y'all?
That's what we do. That's what we do.
What's up?
Oh, man.
We talking about the top wide receivers.
Hey,
we're kind of
no, my bad, man. Beers don't open as fast as they used to. I had a little trouble getting it off of there. But look, man, like I hear where he's coming from with Cooper Kupp. Like, Cooper Kupp is a weird case. Yes, he's a top 10 receiver, but not in the top end of it. I mean, more like Keenan Allen for the Chargers. Not saying that he's not great and talented, but he's a huge beneficiary of the NFL changing the rules and him being the mostly slot guy who you can kind of – you can systemically just feed targets to. Is that the same as what Chase does and what Jefferson does and what these other guys do where you play on the boundary and it doesn't matter what the game plan is, you just have to be accounted for because you can dominate? I don't think it's the same. So I would push him a little further down. I probably push Chase up there as 1B, though, with Jefferson, just because, man, that game-breaking ability is something, man. Like, it's – I don't know how you account for that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
But, yeah, y'all got a dope list, man. Enjoy it. Except Tyreek got to be real high because that speed is no answer for that.
It's insane. Yeah, that's my top three there. Right? Jefferson, Chase, and Tariq Hill, my top three.
Absolutely. No, I can dig it. Speed kills, absolutely.
Right?
Dude, you gotta give Christian Watson the benefit of his props, huh? Okay. Yeah,
go ahead.
Even before,
oh,
that's still good.
Yeah, yeah. No, they talking about this Christian Watson kid in Green Bay, and they're like, dude, this is almost track speed like Tyreek, and if you run him on the same side of the formation as a tight end, like you just kind of have to give up the crossing route because, you know, if he gets deep, that's just it. So that's going to be interesting watching this year. Now, of course, I'm not recommending him for the top 10. I'm just saying something to look out for.
I was watching some Instagram stuff, and they were doing – you guys remember the NFL Fastest Man competitions where they just run against, like – they had Daryl Green going against, like, Michael Hayes. It was kind of cool seeing, like, who's the fat – like, Rod Woodson, he was running against – he was Dustin, you know. They should do something like that to kind of just put that, you know, once and for all, like, the NFL's Fastest Man competition.
Daryl Green won it every year, it seems like.
He's been chilling, man. Like, who is this guy? He was just chilling folks, man. So, anyway, I'd love to see, you know, kind of like you said, if a Christian Watson is a guy, can he go up against Tyreek Hill? Because that dude is like, man, just don't let that dude. That acceleration is nuts. Let's keep this going, guys. Shout out to Detroit, man. Motown, step up, man. Here we go. What are the predictions for the Detroit Lions this season? And I think we were pretty much fans of their draft. So, you know, 9-7 or 10-7, excuse me, 9-8. What are we looking at here at this juncture here? I mean, is it kind of one of those situations? Or, you know, if you go to the Lions page, they're predicting like 12-5, something crazy like that. They're thinking they're going to playoffs,
no,
all that stuff. No. Man, I'm like, somebody's really drinking the Kool-Aid over there, but. Let's look about some realistics, Rob. Go ahead.
I think it's a tight window for them. I think their ceiling is about 10-7. I think their floor is about 8-9. So I know it's only a difference of two games. But that's kind of where I have them this year. You know, 2 months ago, I was gung-ho on Detroit being the winners of their division. They still may very well win the division. But I actually think it's going to be a lot closer. I can kind of see all four of those teams in that division somewhere between 7 and 10 wins this year. And so I really think it's a really tight window. I said this before. I think Matt LaFleur is secretly excited about Aaron Rodgers being gone out of that team. And they're a team that I think is going to be better than what most people expect. I mean, but I think their ceiling is right around the same, too, with Green Bay. 10 wins, maybe, with a floor, maybe 7. But I just think these four teams in that division are going to be extremely close. I could see that, like I said, the entire division being somewhere between 7 to 10 wins. And so that's where I'm at with Detroit. I think Detroit's floor is 8-9. Their ceiling is 10-7. And when you look at their schedule, I mean, just about all their away games are tough when you look at the Lions' schedule this year. So, I mean, they open up at Kansas City. So, I mean, loss. Automatically we think that's a loss, right, 0-1. And when you look at their overall, when you look at their schedule as a whole, I mean, they got a really tough road schedule. They got the Chargers on the road. They got a tough away schedule this year. Yeah, Ravens as well. Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, it's in a tough away schedule. So I just don't think that they're a team that can run away with it, or any team in that division can run away with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I feel similar to you because I feel like, you know, they have the ability, if I'm being honest, to split, you know, the division to go 3-3. So that gives them 3 wins.
Yep.
They play the NFC South. They could probably, they're going to fuck around. I think Atlanta's going to be a problem for them. I think New Orleans is going to be tough. I think they could beat Carolina and beat Tampa. So that's another split. So that's 5. But then you look at that schedule like you talked about, you know, Seattle at home, you know, that's a toss-up. That's one of those swing games. At the Ravens, that's a loss. They should be able to beat the Raiders, so that's 6 wins. At the Chargers, probably a loss. Yeah, you're talking about the Broncos, tough. The Broncos, I think, are going to be a lot better. So, yeah, they got a couple swing games in there. So I said, 6-7 right there. So they're going to have to get up, swollen chest to get to 9. So I'm going to go, I like that team. I just don't know if I like that defense. I think they're going to be really good to watch, like on an NFL ticket. You're going to just fuck around and get on a game. It's going to be 31-28 for no reason every week. I'm going to go and say they 8-9.
Well, I was optimistic, and but going through their schedule, I had them at 9-8 this season. But, you know, like you said, Rob, I looked at a few of their games, and, you know, it just depends on the bounce of the ball. It could be – I don't think it's a double-digit win season for them. I don't think that – I think the top of the – very top of the ceiling is 9-8, and that's what I put them at. You know, that's – I didn't look to see what Vegas has them at. But I'm not Vegas, but I've got them at 9-8. And I still don't trust their quarterback.
No one does.
Right.
No one does.
On that defense.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing that's holding me back on them is, like, okay, do I really trust Jared Goff now? I've been drafting him in fantasy leagues. Like, I do trust him. So I'm going to go 10-11. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, they are really talented, and they really improved defensively.
Yeah.
So I think they can be a problem. The issue in that division, because like y'all just said, that division is so good, does Kirk Cousins kind of rebel because Minnesota doesn't believe in him and didn't give him his money again, which, you know, was kind of shady. Look, that boy in Chicago is going to win the MVP either this year or next year. He's that – type of game-breaking athlete, and
wow,
he's
going to
do
on
some amazing one-man band stuff. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but it's going to happen. And then lastly, of course, Green Bay, like you said, man, everybody in that building wants to prove, like, hey, man, people can play here. It wasn't all A-Rod, so that's a factor too. But, yeah, I'm pulling Detroit to steal that division, man.
Okay.
So what do you think their record's going to be, Naj?
No, I said 10 or 11. I'm going to go 10 or 11. I'll go that
10
far.
Okay.
This might be a big L for me, man.
Listen, they can get there with the swing games. To me, the swing games are Seattle, Atlanta, and Carolina. To me, they're probably going to lose to the Ravens. They're going to probably lose to the Broncos. They're going to raise the Broncos, Kansas City for fucking sure. So unless they can get a surprise sweep somewhere in the division to get the four wins in the division, I'm just going to say three. Those three swing games can take you from, you know, what I say, 8-9 to 11-6, right? But to me, those are the three.
Yeah.
If you look at them, like, those are games I can see them winning. Those are games I can see them losing. So the other ones I kind of feel pretty good about, but it's those three. I'm like, I can't go too far on this, so I'm just going to bet on the bottom end of it because at the end of the day, it's still Detroit.
And then the other part is, do you get the Falcons with Ritter or Heinicke? Because I feel like Heinicke is going to take that team from that kid at some point, and they're going to be much better with him at quarterback.
Mm.
I mean, everyone's still thinking that's a week three game. You know, everyone's picking that, you know, even I'm looking at, you know, whatever, it's Pride of the Lions. I'm like, yeah, that's a win because, you know, Jeff Okuda and Mike Hughes are going to – I'm like, what the hell? You know, so everyone's not giving us respect. But I get it, you know, until we prove it, that's going to happen, but – that's the sweet game. They had this weird little situation where they play, like, the Vikings in, like, 3 weeks in there, so towards the end of the season. They play them, they have a Sunday night with the Cowboys, and they play the Vikings again. That's going to be interesting, too. So there's a couple of situations from that. I agree with you, JQ. Like, the NFC South, you know, they're going to play – they got to play us. They're going to play the Saints. They should, you know, they should beat the Bucks. But, like you said, what's going to happen to Carolina? So they've got some interesting games in there. There's some losing games in there, but – we talked about how much we appreciate what they did in the draft, but, you know, it has come down to quarterback. Is Jeff Goff the answer? And does that team know how to win is another question, too. So, you know, are they there yet is the question. So we'll see. They look good on paper, but you got to play the games.
Yeah, they showed tremendous improvement toward the end of the season last year, too, but I think –
yeah.
You know, I think we've seen the Bears team that got better this offseason. And like I said, I actually think that the Packers are quietly happy that Aaron Rodgers are gone and feel like they can move in another direction and finally start the youth movement with Jordan Love at the quarterback position too. So I think these are four teams in that division that are extremely close together when it comes to their overall roster. So it's going to be a competitive division. I think it's extremely close.
Well, I've heard that term with the Packers that they're you know, they're quietly, you know, glad that Aaron Rodgers is gone and that they've moved on with their young quarterback. But, you know, if they were really happy about it, they wouldn't be quiet about it. They'd be saying, hey, we're happy. We made the right decision. We're glad this prima donna's out of here, and we've got our franchise quarterback. We're not hearing any of that shit. That's why they're so quiet about it. I don't think it's going to be as good as what people think with Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Drake.
Go ahead, Josh. Finish your thought, man. It's all good. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to piggyback on what he was saying. Like, are they going to run the hell out of Aaron Jones and Dylan and kind of protect Love in his first year, or are we going to see him kind of open it up and see what he can do? That's, you know, going to tell everything to me. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to see, man, because that's two really good backs. And if you kind of lean on them, maybe you limit the mistakes the kid can make.
I agree with that. You limit the mistakes. And it creates confidence.
They're going to have to run the ball and play good defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're looking at running the balanced offense with Love and the running game. I think they get them out there with some bootlegs, use his athleticism, play action, get them out on some bootlegs and things of that nature. So I think they're going to have a balanced attack. Obviously, they're going to have a good defense. They got one of the best corners in the game in Jair Alexander. That certainly helps you from a defense coordinator perspective when it comes to play calling, when you have one guy that can lock down on the side of the field. So, they're going to have a balanced attack offensively and play good defense for them to be competitive.
Good stuff. All right, let's talk about the top remaining free agent running backs after Dalvin Cook and Zeke. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think for me this was pretty simple. I mean, obviously Kareem Hunt is still out there. Most recently visited the Vikings, and the Vikings is a team that could definitely use him. They don't have Dalvin Cook there anymore. So it'll be interesting. Obviously he still hadn't signed with anyone. He visited the Colts. And he visited the Saints. The Colts and the Saints have both signed another running back. So I'm not sure if they're still interested or not. But the Vikings, so those are the three teams he's visited so far. I mean, obviously, the Vikings make a lot of sense here because they technically have not replaced Dalvin Cook. Leonard Fournette's still out there, too. I mean, is he the back he was when he was drafted? No, he's not. But can he come in there and be a pounder and get you 3 to 5 yards when you need it. He probably still can. He's a decent catcher out of the backfield. And then the last guy I would touch on is J.D. McKissic, who's another guy I think the Vikings would probably take a look at as well. He's 30 years old. We know that running backs, you know, when they start to get that 28, 29, 30-year mark, that's when you start to see that slight decline out of them in most cases. But these guys can probably still come in, help you in a pinch, similar to where Dalvin Cook and Zeke is being signed to right now.
Look, Alexander Madison and everybody that's drafted him saying, hey, you stop that kind of talk about Minnesota because we want to take this to the fourth or fifth round and get a 25-touch a game back at Madison and Minnesota. So I'm going to go none of them dudes go to Minnesota. We got somebody right there that's going to get all the carries. I think honestly what you're saying is outside of Hunt, I'm not sure I'm really excited enthused about anybody else really moving the needle for you. I think Hunt still has enough juice because he split carries so long with Chubb in Cleveland that he didn't really get the tread knocked off his tires. I think he is also somebody that's looking at the running back market and maybe overvaluing what maybe we can get. You know what I mean? Like if you're at this point, you know, they buy you what they buy you at, but I mean, in terms of the production, they just feel like they can get it on the cheap. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see where he goes. But, you know, I mean, you're not wrong, though. Minnesota necessarily might not be a bad place. But I'm still interested to see what happens in Indianapolis and what happens in Vegas. Because, I mean, especially that Josh Jacobs is hot with the Raiders. He's hot with the Raiders. And I think Jonathan Taylor getting to that point of being hot with the Colts. So So they can see where they put their money where their mouth is. But in terms of building the season, do they pull it in the fifth and say, go on, get one of them fools, have them not look like me, and then sign me in week three for all the money I asked you for in training camp? So I look at those two spots as well, potentially kind of filling the gap spots for maybe one of those two guys if Jacobs and Taylor play hardball. And I know Taylor came back to camp, but he's still not practicing.
Yeah, you might as well pay Taylor because you're starting the kid anyway. So you might as well pay Taylor so he has something to lean on. And then in 2 or 3 years or whatever, you run Taylor out of there. Just sign him to something short and front load some money and get him out there. But, yeah, man, this is a weird running back market. I think all of them are just going to be holding their phones and refreshing Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport looking for injuries.
Yeah, there it is. Really quickly, I'm going to go over some of these first-round rookies that shined and looked like duds here. But I'm going to go with the people that shined, and it's crazy because, you know, you can talk about a lot of guys that really, really shined on defense. So I'm going to talk about just really quickly because we kind of had – we don't have too much time here, and I'll let you guys expound on this too. But I had Will Anderson shined 9 snaps, instant impact. Jalen Carter did his thing. Will McDonald did for the Jets, 5, you know, pressures within 2 games doing his thing. Jack Campbell for the Lions, linebacker, looked pretty good. Deontay Banks, cornerback for the Giants. I know Wink Martindale smiling because he was able to run with Jameson Williams on that. Antoine Harris, tackle for the Jaguars, looking good. Zay Flowers, he was able to draw some, you know, even splash his talent from him. So those are some of the guys that I had written down as far as it looking pretty good. And we can add some other people that too that you guys are thinking about as well. Some duds. Unfortunately, we're going to have to pick on your guy, C.J. Stroud, JQ, because he had some challenges with his game, man. Quentin Johnson, I'm going to talk about him because he had some challenges with drops and he goes right to the Chargers, and that kind of reared its head as well, so you're kind of worried about him. But, you know, Ja'Marr Chase had some drops, but Ja'Marr Chase is immensely more talented than Quentin Johnson. So I'm not even putting him in the same camp, but just, like, you have to hope that he gets over that. Broderick Jones, the tackle for the Steelers. I know this is going to excite JQ. I know he has some challenges too in the game. And Lucas Van Ness, I put him down as well. And I know we could talk about Bryce Young. He kind of didn't, you know, he had like 3 passes. He missed a couple things. He, you know, missed a throw into the flats. So his release was great, but you're still worried about him. And you're kind of in the middle with Anthony Richardson, right? Because I think Anthony Richardson has a lot of talent. I think he's a good dude, man. So you just have to worry about he may not have played as good. You know, he had the interception, but I think the talent is there. So, you know, I'm kind of iffy on him. But that's what I just wanted to really quickly for those guys and let you guys kind of expound if you want to see from that perspective.
Yeah, I got a lot of similar names. Bryce Young was pressured a lot in that game, but I actually think there was some good of some of the things that we saw. I mean, he's 4 out of 6. He had some accurate throws in there. So I still put him in a more good category. Carolina's, for some reason, the offensive line didn't play well. First team, second team at all in that game. Even JQ's favorite, Cincinnati being a quarterback of all time, Dalton. I mean, they would everybody they put back in the game, they were getting pressure off of Carolina, right? But so I got Bryce Young kind of in the good category. I think he showed you enough. I thought Jahmyr Gibbs for Detroit was pretty solid. He had 7 touches, about 37 yards, running and catching the football. And as Andre mentioned, Jack Campbell, I think the 4 tackles and a pass defense in that game. He looked solid. He was a guy I thought Detroit reached on in the draft. But he had a really solid game. Anthony Richardson is a guy I got in a good and bad category. I know it's weird. I know he had that interception, but he really came back and really settled down, had some nice throws, had a nice 30-something yard pass to Alec Pierce, and he dropped it. And, you know, I mean, you can't put that one on Anthony Richardson. And you can definitely see that there's some potential there with him. So I have him kind of in the good and bad category. A couple of receivers that stood out to me was Jordan Addison with Minnesota. which can be really scary with him and Justin Jefferson. I thought he was really good and limited action for the Vikings. Jackson Smith and Jigba in Seattle. Shout out to JQ in Ohio State, 3 catches, 25 yards. I thought he was good. When you look at that Seattle, Seattle's got a chance to be really good offensively, man. When you're talking about DK Metcalf, Smith and Jigba, I mean, the running back there. Tyler Lockett back there as well. They're going to have a 1-2 punch at running back. Zach Charbonnet looked real. I know Zach Charbonnet was a second-round pick in this topic, first-rounders, but he was really impressive as well. So they got a chance to have a 1-2 punch at running back, too. If Geno Smith gives us the Geno Smith that we showed last year, they're going to be tough to stop offensively. Problem is their front seven on defense is not that great. But offensively, they can be really good. A couple of defensive players I like, Jalen Carter. So he was in the backfield his first play. And so you got to like what he did for the Eagles. And Will Anderson, as Andre mentioned, I thought was phenomenal as well. On the bad side, I mentioned I had Anthony Richardson and both. So I want to touch on him. C.J. Stroud, 2 out of 4, some ugly throws. That INT to Jalen Mills, LSU, was ugly. And then Quentin Johnson, of course, with the drops, as Andre already mentioned. So those are the three players I had in the bad category.
I didn't watch none of that shit this weekend, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I know. All I know is his job was horrible on that throw, so I own that one. But, you know, rookie quarterbacks on a bad team.
Yep, and it's preseason by any means, or it's time for us to get excited over any action or jumping off the ledge on any action either.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I would say is I was looking at the Cowboys. That's my team, if you guys don't know that already. The guy that I'm like, this Deuce Vaughn. You know, he's not going to be in every down back or whatever, but he is.
Yeah.
He can be a special player. I mean, he's it's hard to get, you know, he's tough. He, for as small as he is,
he can't even
he's really a stout guy, you know, and he's really a crafty guy. And the other guy that I've been watching is that linebacker. And I remember Rob during the draft, his mock drafts, he talked about Overshown for linebacker. And he's been doing really well for the boys so far, training camp and in preseason. So those are the two guys that I was enjoying what they were doing on the field.
Yeah.
Does he remind you of Darren Sproles, Rob? Does he remind you of Darren Sproles back in the day? Like a little...
You know, when you look at the size, yes, he does. I'm not sure if he's the pass catcher that Darren Sproles is yet. You know, Darren Sproles is a tremendous pass catcher out of the backfield. And that side, we have to see. We didn't get to see a lot of that out of Deuce Vaughn at Kansas State, and it could be their system. So we'll see if he has that element to his game. I mean, that's going to be a nice weapon for the Cowboys. Hate to say that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that. You create a package for him on day one. I think it's going to take at least a year for guys to figure out how to tackle him. And the only thing I'm scared of is if he really embarrasses somebody and they get mad and they try to do something to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, try to really hurt him because he's so slight, man. But, man, that dude is electric, man. And they're going to figure out ways to get him the ball.
Yeah.
The other guy I would add is Tank Dell in Houston as a receiver.
Oh, man.
That kid looks like day one. He's playing, like, period.
Yep.
And lastly, on CJ, I'm gonna give a little CJ some grace because at this point, I feel like if offensive play is that bad, I don't even think you should put that quarterback out there. Like, if we got young, superstar possible quarterbacks – and your O-line is so terrible that you can't even do max protect. Like, man, get that kid out of there. One of the old dudes come in and take them lumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah,
give him
a training camp on Dale,
yeah.
Rookie from
yeah, dust your clipboard off, get in the game, take some hits.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, good job.
Yeah.
Whenever you mentioned that, Gary, because it kind of reminded me of these like smaller backs. Whenever we kind of went there, I was thinking about Darren Sproles, and I was also thinking about Maurice Jones-Drew, right? These like 5'7" guys that are just you know, up in the league, man. So that's kind of a shout out to those small backs that we want to show them some love too, man. So it's all good. Let's see here. We got about 10 minutes here. I want to talk about. I want to give you guys some time. Hopefully, since we're gonna not have an OT portion, I want to give you guys some time to talk about some topics that you would like to talk about too. So you know, pick your topic and kind of go from there, because I want to make sure we have enough time to get to that too. So I don't know if there's something you want to talk about, JQ, that's really on that list that you want to kind of highlight or whatever, my guy.
No. No. Not really.
Nothing's exciting. Nothing. Okay.
All
right, man. Okay.
Well, okay. So I'll just do some Texas bashing. And this year, Texas lives up to expectations to win the Big 12. Hell no. It's Texas. And they're going to find a way to blow it. Like they always find a way to blow it. And, man, ESPN wants Texas and Notre Dame to be so good every year, man. It's incredibly just frustrating. Like, let them at least do it once, maybe even twice before we declare Texas back. Is Texas back? No. Texas is not back. These Sarkisians don't drink no more. Play calling man is good when he ain't drunk. Why don't we stop this notion that they're going to be back? Like, come on. No. They not. And you know if they are good, I would come on here and say, you know what, he at least he proved it to me. But I'm not going to ever give them the benefit of the doubt right now because they don't deserve it. So, no. Dang. They're going to find a way to blow it.
They just have them by a long shot to win.
Sorry.
I tell you what. If Texas don't win the Big 12 this year, Steve Sarkisian should be fired and go back to drinking. Because the talent disparity between Texas. No, I'm serious. When you look at the Big 12 this year, and in how many years, you can see that since they've agreed to join the SEC, now Texas is already good at recruiting. Their recruiting has gotten so much better in the last couple of years since they announced they're going to the SEC. They're already benefiting from that. And the talent disparity between Texas and the rest of the Big 12 this season is huge. They are by far the most talented team in that conference this year. You know, normally Oklahoma is just as good as them as far as talent. Talent-wise, maybe you have another school or two in the Big 12 that's pretty close. But this year there's a huge gap. They got the best quarterback in the conference. Xavier Worthy is the best wide receiver in the conference. I mean, they got some defensive players there. They got a stable backs even after losing Bijan Robinson this year. I mean, they are by far the most talented team. You can make a case that Oklahoma or Kansas State because fighting for second place in the conference. But from a talent perspective, they are a distant second. Oklahoma had to go out to the transfer portal just to get some players to come play defense for them. I mean, it's Oklahoma. And last year, Oklahoma had – they were giving up 35 to 40 points a game. Insane on a defense. So this has to be the year for Texas to win that conference. Or otherwise, Sarkisian should be fired. I mean, that's just how big the talent disparity is between Texas and the rest of that Big 12 conference this year.
And he's still going to fuck around and lose the game in October to Texas Tech. And you know it.
and you know what? If they don't win that conference this year, Sarkisian shouldn't be in the SEC next year. That's all I'm going to say.
Start drinking. Well, that's funny. Anything to get drinking in there.
You know, I was going to talk about these miserable New York Yankees.
Mm-mm.
You know, I remember years ago, before all the great teams, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, with that phenomenal run that they had. Prior to that, you know, George Steinbrenner, he tried to do like what everybody else did, you know, just kind of muddle along and see what kind of profits he could get from his organization and not really put a product out on the field. And what it cost George Steinbrenner is he, you know, he had to hawk his shipping business. I mean, to the point where it was a make or break deal with the Yankee organization. And when he did that, he was able to create those teams that were just so phenomenal. The teams that we're seeing in the last several years with the Yankees reminds me of those teams prior to that monumental move that Steinbrenner did. The organization is just kind of, you know, when they started really paying and really going out there and getting the best talent, if there was somebody out there that was the best shortstop, pitcher, outfielder, whatever it was, everybody knew who they were going to go to. They were going to the Yankees. Boston got tired of it, so they tried that same thing, and they realized that it worked for them as well, which created their dynasty that they had. And I want to see the Yankees do that. They got the money to do it.
Boston had a dynasty?
Well, I would say that Boston had a very competitive team, and for many years they were stealing players that the Yankees were going to, because at that particular point they were willing to outbid the Yankees and get those bodies in there. But were they as a dynasty like the Yankees? No, absolutely not. But they were definitely a competitive team. And this Yankees team that we have, you know, that we have now really reminds me of those teams in that past. And it disgusts me. We saw all these free agents these last several years that they could have pulled in there to create, you know, another dynasty. They sit on their thumbs. They let these teams go to all these other organizations. And I don't want to see that. And that was one of the reasons why I always loved the Yankees, is because, you know, they had that ability and they were going to be up there every year. And now they're so far from that, it's not even funny.
Well, I think the challenge, right, the reason why the Yankees weren't active during the trading deadline this year is because they have no assets. They've traded a lot of their young talent to get other players. And another thing is, a lot of their best players, they're aging right in front of us. DJ LeMahieu, Juan Carlos Stanton, these guys, they look like they're about 45 years old out there right now. I mean, so it looks like just an old ball club. And, you know, Aaron Judge obviously still got some pop. I mean, they have a few young pitchers. Obviously, injuries have played a big part of that this year, too. And I think for this team, they got to figure out a way to get some young talent. There's no speed on this ball club. They definitely need some young players. They got to figure out a way to get some young players back into the organization. They're really lacking that right now. So, I mean, they can obviously be huge spenders in the free agent market, but they had nobody that they can trade before the trading deadline, because they just had no assets that anybody wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music there. That's the end of our show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in on tonight. Another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you one night on next week. Not sure just yet. Usually Tuesday through Thursday. So definitely check it out. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Atlanta, we want to hear from y'all and the Braves. Yeah, New York, Yankees and Mets, you suck. We want to hear from New York, too. What y'all going to do to rebuild for next year. Central Time Zone, the Cubs. I tell you, man, they come out of nowhere. We want to hear from Chicago and some Deep Dish Pizza. Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Colorado. We want to hear from Colorado Buffalo fans. What Deion's going to do in the Pac-12? Don't look like they got any offensive, defensive lines. It looks like they're going to be at the bottom of the conference. So we want to hear from y'all in Colorado. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, last year in the Pac-12. We want to hear from y'all out west, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. First fantasy football draft tomorrow night. We got players from Atlanta, Tampa, Indianapolis, New Orleans. Let's go at it.
Let's do it.
Chargers with Dickie. Come on, man.
Well, we was already past it. That's why I didn't do it. So we was already past it. It's been that hour.
What's going on with the Pac-4? Where are they going to wind up?
Shit, at the house?
The Mountain West. I mean, I did hear something on the, I don't know where I heard it. One of the sports channels was talking about the ACC was trying to work out some sort of a package deal with, or something like that. I don't know how that all would work out, but whatever. The Pac-4 is, it's done.
Did North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson voted against
those are the four. And they're the ones that don't even want to be in there. Like, get the hell out of here, man. You hold it up. They're going to get one more vote. What the hell?
Yeah, come on. Nobody gives a goddamn about the Wolfpack. But if you could pack four, you got one thing that you can do. You got to call the AAC or the Mountain West and say, hey, we ain't going to come into you, but we still have Power 5 Conference affiliation. Why don't y'all come into us so we can now y'all can be in the Power 5 conversation and we don't lose this thing. And they should all be like, you know what? You're goddamn right. And they should join the Pac-4 and make it to Pac-12 again. And it's too logical not to happen if you're these other teams that don't have a seat at the table. For right now, they still have a seat at the table. So before they go all the way under, why if you're San Diego State and the Gonzagas and other people of the world where you can get a foot a hold at the table, why not make that happen? Boise State, yeah. Like stuff like that. Until they take that Power 5 seat away, you better get in there and get you a seat at the table with the grown folks and stop eating with the little kids at Thanksgiving.
Man, that seat at the table is going to be gone this weekend, right. Doc.
That's because they made it look too weak.
They meeting this weekend. They're about to change some things this weekend. That Pac-4, they're not going to have a seat at the table unless
they
find a way to build. There's only going to have four conferences that are going to have a seat at the table, and that's the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and the Big 12. At Pac-12, Pac-4, that seat is gone.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What I was thinking, too. Even if you brought in that Mountain West, that's not a power conference. You know, that's you'll have
the same shit they got right now. It's the same shit they got right now. So why not roll the dice and give it a try? You know what I mean? Like,
nothing to lose, right? Nothing to lose. You got a dollar left and you're in Vegas. You know, put it on the roulette wheel. Let it ride.
That's all you got.
I don't know if I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I don't think the deal is closed with Stanford and Cal or the ACC. Because all they needed is one more. I know Florida State voted against it, Clemson, North Carolina, and NC State. And they really just need one of those schools to flip, right, and vote yes. So I don't think the deal is closed just yet. I think they were waiting on seeing what was going to happen with this August 15th deadline, which passed, right? And no school from the ACC has applied to lead the conference next year. And so I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think they're probably going to give it one more visit. About Cal and Stanford. I don't know about Washington State and Oregon State. They may legitimately be going to the Mountain West. But I think they're going to give – I think Stanford and Cal is going to give one more look and see if they can change that. Now that Florida State has not applied for, you know, paid $120 million or try to fight those grant of rights deal that the ACC have until 2036. So –
if you're looking at a team like Oregon State, they haven't had a competitive football team in a long time, but they definitely have an excellent baseball program. So if teams are looking at overall sports, that would be something that if I were one of the powers to be, I would be definitely looking at that as well.
Yeah. But yeah,
as far as Washington State, they have Washington State has a very good synchronized swimming.
Okay.
Oh my goodness!
I'm out.
But the problem is when you lose when you lose the big money from the football, it's hard to fund those sports, too, of those programs.
The non-revenue sports are really in trouble because it's not a selling point. And then the other part is these guys who already got – these schools who already got dance partners, they're looking at it like we don't want to share or split anything else. So they're kind of pushing back against anybody coming in. So it's like that four y'all talking about, that Pac-4, their only thing now is they got to get a real short deal, 2 years or 3 years or something like that, and then just try to get in and get out before the real game starts. So, yeah, man, this is crazy. I think they're just doing elevator pitches at this point, hoping to make something crack. Like, these dudes are like hustling at a regular convention. They're trying to make something happen, but... How does that help NC State or those other schools? Because they're like, man, I'm not splitting money with them. We're already splitting money anyway. Why should we give them anything? So this is tough, man.
I'm gonna send somebody to NC State. You better flip that vote, my guy.
NC State said they're gonna vote the Yankees, how North Carolina vote.
Exactly. And to Gary's point about the Yankees, think about that winning time we're watching with the Lakers right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sports are getting away from family-owned businesses because family-owned businesses don't have they just don't have the bread that these other people have, these new money people who come into these leagues. So the Yankees, who used to be the evil empire, now they're out here talking about how we're going to do it the right way and build up to this and this. No, y'all just don't have the bread. And the Steinbrenners, salute to them, but they're not their father. They're not as innovative and have come up with ways to make money. So they're just like the Lakers, man. If I don't know what we're going to do legally, but if that Saudi fund comes in and throws money on the table, unless we have some kind of congressional hearing and block them from spending money, how do the Lakers and the Yankees keep their teams? Because they just don't have the bread to keep up in the arms race.
Oh, no, Congress will say fuck that. Guys. You can have that shit in soccer. We ain't doing that in baseball and football and basketball. They ain't going to let that shit happen. That shit ain't going to happen. We'll tell you right now.
These are Americana franchises, Lakers and Yankees. Yeah, so that's tough.
Yeah.
All right, guys. See you guys next week. Be good. Be safe. Appreciate you guys. And we'll talk about jumping early for the next one, okay? Be good, guys.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Don't y'all believe in Tampa Bay Rays. Peace.
Oh, man, they can't lose a goddamn ace for the year. I'm not doing this with you. Bye.
He out this year and next year.
Yeah.
He's blow.
Wanda, stop doing stuff, man. Come on, man.
Bye. I'm off your hair. I'm not talking to y'all no more.
Good night. See you guys.
Good night.